it's not PowerPoint, it's just...
Oh, it's down the...
It's not PowerPoint, I'm getting...
It's really pretty. It's pretty easy if you want to try it.
And I'll show you how to do this.
There you go. No, I don't think that's very easy.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you will take your seats, please, we are ready to get this meeting called to order. And so I am calling to order our first meeting of the Mariposa County Planning Commission for 2014, January 10th, 2014. I would like to begin by asking Commissioner Bernikoff to lead us in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item on the agenda this morning is approval of the minutes of our last meeting, December 20th. Commissioners, do you have anything to add or detract? Or correct? Yes, Commissioner Harder. While you're looking, I'll add a couple I've got, if you don't mind. On page 5, unfortunately, I think he was here this morning. Frank, we got your name down as Fran in the minutes, and I just wanted to make sure you never go by Fran. Thank you. So that should be correct. Page 5, bottom of the page, I believe. Next one that I have, on page 9, we're not showing a recorded vote under action item 6, and that's the approval of this year's Planning Commission days. We're not showing a vote from Commissioner Harris. To my remembrance, he did vote in favor. I believe that was a 5-0 vote. So we should record his vote there. And also, on page... And I will find it. Where did it go? I had it here. Oh, it's on the same page. So the staff report, page 9, and that is under the vote just above number 6 action item. We are showing under Commissioner Harder's no vote, a 0 vote. That is actually should be a 1 no vote. Your vote counts just as well as everyone else's. Yeah, that's a no or a nay. Do you have any other corrections?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Commissioner. Yes, no, I'm sorry. Of course, you know how many years we've known each other. Of course, Commissioner Bernikoff.
Okay, you got all the corrections that I had. In addition, I'd like to add on packet page 8. Under Bernikoff asked, I wanted to include the word Lawson. I think it's important to distinguish it. It was already established in that meeting that the neighbors weren't spoken to by the planning department, but my specific comment was directed at Mr. Larson.
Lawson.
Lawson, thank you. And I would recommend that we also include after that paragraph Lawson's reply. That no, he had not contacted any of the residents, and he did not think that any of the other agents for the project contacted the residents with regard to that no parking zone.
I have no objection to that addition.
Second addition, on the paragraph same page, paragraph that she said that she hopes the applicant appreciates. I wanted to also make sure that it was clear that it is to consider a waiver based on the consideration of a potential future project. at the station I thought was important to include in the written record.
Any others?
One other. I thought it was very important to include in the written record simply because tapes can be lost or garbled. I thought a central question, I'm going to read it into the record, but I also have a printed copy that I printed out to Carol. Essentially would state, Bernikoff stated that she had concerns with the language used on packet page 172, that it sounded like an exception, and that she met with Fouch and Marx to discuss the regulatory requirements relative to this alternative approval pathway. And Bernikoff asked Fouch to confirm that this alternative pathway for approval was acceptable due to the lack of a county ordinance having been approved, and since this alternative pathway was included as one way to comply with the requirements. And I would also recommend that we note Mr. Fouch's confirmation that this was accurate.
I don't have a problem with that. Normally, under the circumstances, because that would have been recorded into the record itself during the recording, we generally try not to get into such in-depth reportage of the minutes, but I fully understand because there were problems with recording that meeting. So, absolutely.
Thank you. And also, I just want to just add to that that I think it's important for the written record to have those elements that are central elements. Yeah, I don't think it's too much detail.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree in a certain sense. Any further corrections, additions? In that case, I think we are ready to entertain a motion regarding the minutes for the December 20th meeting. Move to accept as amended?
Second.
We have a second from Commissioner Bernikoff. All those in favor, please indicate by signifying aye.
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 Opposed? None. The minutes are accepted as amended by a 4-0 vote. And I would like to point out at this point that Commissioner Harris will not be with us this morning. He is still away on work in Nevada. Which takes us to our next annual item, and that is the selection of chair and vice chair for 2014. It is an annual office that needs to be fulfilled from this commission. I think first the selection of chair, if there's anyone who has any sort of a nomination, Commissioner Becker.
I would like to nominate Les.
I certainly would be more than happy to serve again, unless there is anybody else who is chomping at the bit to do so. Well, we have a motion and a nomination, which I will accept. And we do require a second on the nomination. Is there a second? Commissioner Harder, are there any further?
I have a question.
Yes.
The normal process for the for this sort of process, just to edify myself, so that there's not a circular fulfillment of those positions where a vice chair steps into chair after 1 year. It's just essentially based how we've done it today.
Right. From my history on this panel, this board, that is exactly how it's done. It's not done as the Board of Supervisors, in which there is more or less a rotating chair or vice chair position. As a matter of fact, I recall my dear old pal Bob. Was chair for many
years. Meetings.
Yeah. So no, we do not have to follow any sort of procedure like that. It's certainly whoever is, not bright enough to be able to get out of it.
Thank you.
So I nominate you.
Thank you so much. So with that, are there any other nominations? In that case, I will close the nominations for chair, and I will call for a vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 No opposed, 4-0, and I'm sorry, I'm in for another year. Now, nominations for vice chair. Do we have any nominations for vice chair?
I'll nominate Don.
There is a nomination for Don Harder to continue in that role. Don, do you accept the nomination? Okay, we certainly can. Is there a second to the nomination?
I'll second it.
Commissioner Bernikoff. Commissioner Bernikoff has seconded the nomination. Are there any further nominations? Seeing none, I will close the nominations and ask for the vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
Was that a no vote or a no opposition? Thank you. Well, we have our officers for 2014. Thank you for the trust that you've placed in me. I appreciate that. The appointment of Planning Commission Secretary, which must be done in this case in absentia. Do you have any nominations to appoint Carol Moore as our secretary? It's kind of like a hybrid. I'm hoping to have you and Judy both, so that's why you became Carol Muller. I could also ask for Judy Suggs, but do you have a nomination for Judy Muller?
I nominate Judy.
We do have a nomination.
I will second that.
And it's an appointment. Anybody else? No, because she gets the job no matter what happens. So, we do have that appointment, and we are going to vote on it. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. We have our appointment of Judy Suggs. Judy Muller. There's just something so wrong about having you sit here next to me. Not in that sense. Okay, we now have our Planning Commission Secretary. We now need to appoint our ex officio member of the Ag Advisory Committee. In the past, this usually goes to our commissioner in District 2 or 3. Do we have anybody who is eager to serve in that position?
I would like to serve in that position.
And we would love to have you do so, and I appreciate that, that self-nomination. And so, if we have no further nominations, I don't believe in the past we've actually gone through a formal process for this. I would say that let's just get it into the record that way, however. We do have a self-nomination. Do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
We have a second from Commissioner Becker, and so I will call the vote. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
No opposed, and so thank you so much. We appreciate your stepping up. Which now takes us to our next action item, and I'm so sorry, it's all housekeeping, we've got to take care of this. But there will not be a Planning Commission meeting of January 24th, and so at this point we do need to formally have a motion to cancel that meeting. Commissioner Harding?
I so move to cancel the meeting on the 24th.
We have a second.
I'll second.
We have a second from Commissioner Becker. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Our Planning Commission meeting of January 24th is hereby canceled. This moves us finally into the mainstream agenda. I would like to explain how our normal procedures work here. This morning you will find on the rear table copies of our agenda and backup materials, anything else that is relevant to today's agenda. At this point in the proceedings, however, the members of the public are welcome to step up and speak on any item of pertinence to this body that is not on today's agenda. It's your opportunity to tell us what's on your mind. You are not legally required to state your name or sign in, but it is very, very helpful for the record, and so we ask that you consider doing so voluntarily. So, if anybody would like to address this body this morning, please feel free. Seeing no mad dashes to the mic, I will close that public comment period and explain our normal procedures for our public hearing. The staff will present a report on each agenda item. At the conclusion of staff's presentation, the Planning Commission will have the opportunity to ask questions, further elucidate, but not deliberate at that point. As soon as they feel that they have sufficiently gained what they need from staff, I will then open the hearings to the members of the public on that specific agenda item. At the conclusion of all public input, I will close up. The project will come back to this body for deliberation and any potential action. And that's the way it works. With that, I would like to turn things over this morning on our very first and only public hearing item, the 2012-054 Major Historic Design Review, St. Joseph's Church, Brian Fouch, Deputy Department Head.
Thank you. Yes, this is a continuation of your public hearing that you held regarding this item. From December 20th, and the public hearing was continued primarily to allow the conclusion of the public hearing, the public review period for the CEQA document, the mitigated negative declaration that staff prepared. It was sent to the State Clearinghouse. We had a couple of comments back from state agencies, Caltrans and the Native American Heritage Commission. Neither of those agencies had comments that resulted in any change to the mitigated neg deck or the related findings that are included within that document for action today. The most important agency, the State Office of Historic Preservation, declined to comment. We have an email message from the supervisor of that particular unit that oversees review of these particular kinds of projects, and also a follow-up email indicating that they would not be sending us any other correspondence other than that particular email. So we have satisfactorily concluded that particular review from SHPO. And so in declining comment, SHPO is saying that they are in agreement with the mitigated neg deck and that they don't really have any need for the commission to consider any changes that are related to that document. So our CEQA recommendation today is that you adopt the mitigated negative declaration together with all the findings that are contained in that document. That is referenced in your resolution for action today. As a matter of procedure, we did receive some additional public comments from individuals via email. We received a letter from Sally Uribe. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Yeah, Brian, I'm a little concerned. Commissioner Harder had to leave the room. I think he's having a little coughing, and I don't want him to miss any part of this, particularly because we're down to now three.
Okay.
So, and I don't think we need to take a recess, but I would like to simply take a little bit of a pause so we can have the opportunity for Commissioner Harder to rejoin us in just a moment and introduce Sally Uribe. So. And Sally isn't here this morning.
No.
So I will stand in as her agent, her pronouncing agent. Commissioner Harder has rejoined us, so let's continue.
No, not a problem.
Okay, and we also received emails from Julie Richard, Colette Ware, the Coles, and... Niarsha Marchand, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and Pat Bauer. All of these emails indicate support for the project. No, we received no correspondence in opposition to the project since the public hearing process began. Our recommendation today is that you consider the testimony of the applicant, any other public testimony, and then after the close of the public hearing, our recommendation is that you adopt the negative declaration and approve the design review application subject to the conditions of approval contained in the staff report. And based on those findings, I'd like to call your attention to condition number 4 in particular. And that condition requires that if there are any changes that exceed generally 10% or so of the height, width, slope, etc., of the proposed access ramp or walkway, that be returned to the Planning Commission for further review. But this condition enables the Planning Director to approve minor changes in the design of the project as long as they don't exceed that general limit. And then finally, on page 18, bottom of page 18, I'd like to read a correction into the record. There was a little bit of a garbled paragraph at the end of page 18. It should read as follows. The following is an evaluation, this is the last paragraph. The following is an evaluation of the relevant key portions of the Secretary of Interior's guidelines. This evaluation is in addition to the applicant's evaluation of the relationship to the Secretary of the Interior standards, both of which are a part of the same publication referenced in Exhibit A of the initial study. And so I apologize for not having a memo with that change, but I felt it was important to clarify that. And that concludes the staff report.
Thank you, Brian, and I do appreciate that correction. There was one that I also would like to make sure I'm not misreading, and that is on the bottom of packet page 19, top of page 20, there is one condition listed under recommended that I believe probably belongs under not recommended, and that condition is the line, the bullet point, the third bullet point, currently under recommended, begins in the top of 20, which is designing new or additional means of access without considering the impact on historic buildings, and that should go under not recommended.
That's correct.
Thank you. Let's make that correction. Commissioners, do you have any questions, comments? Commissioner Burkoff.
I have a question on packet page 26. And that's condition number three. The process of if human remains are found that are of American Indian ancestry that the Native American Heritage Commission has contacted. I wanted to find out, is that a typical process as opposed to alerting our local tribal community, the Southern State of New York?
Yes, there's no evidence we contacted the clearinghouse. There's no evidence that there are any Native American remains within the project site proposed to be developed. And this is a standard condition of approval. That pertains to these circumstances where we don't have any evidence, but in the event that there is something found, then there's a procedure established for mitigation.
And the procedure is to contact the Native American Heritage Commission as opposed to the local tribe that would be consulted anyway?
They will direct us regarding further contacts after that, including contacts to any local tribes.
Okay, so the act as the middle person instead of us going directly.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, they maintain a list of appropriate contacts for us to use.
Right, I saw that they provided that.
Right.
Any other questions, concerns? Let me see what I have here. I very much appreciated on page 21 the clarification on the role of the ADA in this particular project, and I think it's very important to have in there, and I appreciate that. I do have one question, and it is more for my own curiosity and my own just thought process rather than any further consideration here, because this really will affect building more than planning, and that is, it was just my thought, having been at that site many times, the drainage issue of the area between the rectory and the church, because of the fact that there's going to be presumably non-permeable paving put down there, and there is a somewhat of a slope downhill presumably towards the front of the project. I'm just curious to know if we need to include any notation of interest to make sure that drainage is resolved in a way that, for example, it doesn't go towards either building, toward the foundation of the buildings, if there's it was all the thoughts that I had in my head as simply pragmatically looking about how that area would be taken care of, because it is shaded from the southern exposure. If there is a little bit of rain and then perhaps a freeze afterwards, I want to make sure we're not creating more situation for unsafe passage. But again, that's more building than planning. I just want to know if there's any reason that we need to issue our concern.
Since this is a design review application, I think our review is relatively limited. However, I agree that those are things that will be taken into account through the building permit and the grading permit. There will be some improvement plans prepared by the applicant that go with the building permit application. And there are other things that we're not looking at with respect to this application. For example, we got received some correspondence from Sierra Tel indicating that the applicant should pay attention to utility lines. So this is sort of the same kind of thing as that. It makes sense that they'll take care of the utility lines that run across the site when they do the demolition of the existing pavement. But we've also asked the applicant to cover that in their presentation.
Okay.
Great, thank you. Well, and I, yes.
I also have some concerns in that area, but this is not our building official.
Can't hear you.
Your mic is in.
Is not the building official going to be addressing us?
We can certainly ask for him to.
I think it would be good, because there are a couple of things that are outside the purview of the planning department that we'd like to discuss.
Well, when we get to, I think that rather than having that as part of the staff report, when we have our public comment period, we can certainly ask Mike Kinsler to come forward and address any questions. And with that, if there are no other questions at this point for staff, I will open it up to members of the public. This will be your opportunity to address us on any issue about this project. And I must thank you, first, not only for your attendance here this morning, but for your patience over the past year and a half or so in which this project has been debated up in the air. I must say personally that I am very, very glad to see us at this point, and I really do hope that we are able to move forward on this project promptly. And with that, this is your opportunity. If you have anything to say in favor or against this project, feel free to come up to the mic, sign in if you feel like it, give us your name if you feel like it, and have your say. And we will also, I'm sure, ask for comments from the agent for the applicant or the applicant, and as well from our building department head. And with that, here's your chance. Mark? Mark, you sure can be. Morning.
Morning, commissioners. And public. Thanks for the big chair, Brian. My name is Mark Ferris Jones. I am project manager for the St. Joseph's restoration project. And I'm going to give a brief presentation, which is pretty much a clarification of a lot of the concerns that commissioners and public have had in the past hearings. Let's see. Oh, he's it. Okay. This is the proposed project program, which is barrier removal, better pedestrian access, hazard removal, public safety, courtyard enhancement, courtyard and gathering space functionality, lighting upgrades and enhancements, landscape renovation, plumbing and utility upgrades, which one of the clarifications here is to meet ADA and Title 24 requirements, we are proposing barrier removal. That's our ADA compliance. Okay, this is an overhead shot in color of how the project will look in its completion. I'm going to kind of go down through in order of how the project is presented and some of the alternate thoughts and schemes. Okay, this is overhead looking from the south, or actually looking south from the north, and this just kind of shows you generally without any landscaping what the project looks like. I don't know if you can see that mark on there or not. Would it be better for me to point like this if I need to point? Okay, this gives you a pretty good idea, which everybody I think is already familiar with the project, so I want to go through, just kind of keep it brief, the clarifications, and then we can have questions afterwards.
Sure.
Margaret, and if I could just point out one thing, because I think it's kind of important for us to realize in this shot, the railing on the ramp looks to be indicated black, but it is to be painted white, correct?
Yes, and I have some pictures coming up. This is just a line drawing?
Right, right. And I just want to make sure nobody sees that and says, oh, black railing. Right.
Yeah, this is a line drawing, so there's no color in it at all. It's just lines, and lines look black. So we'll get to something better here in a minute. Okay, this is a village shot again, showing you can see the new grass in the courtyard there. Are in between the two buildings. That's one of the changes that we've made. And of course, this area here is bigger. It's bigger than it was in the first one. So we've enhanced that by about 2 feet. So it's actually
right there.
Right there is about 16 and a half feet. It used to be about 14. So that's quite a bit bigger. Okay, this is the plan view of the proposed project, which we will be calling Scheme A, because this is the project that we're seeking approval on. And I don't know if you can see those notes. I made them really, really big so that everybody could see what's going on. This area right here, this walkway, this is the new walkway, proposed walkway. This is the grass that we're proposing. This is the additional grass. This is where the grass used to be, or where the wall used to be. Now it's here. We've updated this to a circle that matches this circle over here, and this paver assembly here matches the rosette on the steeple of the church to kind of give that a kind of a nice balance there. Let's see, this shot is primarily to show the plan in completion with all the landscaping, and if you can see those notes okay, it'll kind of tell you the new mountain ash here. This is a pedestrian walkway, tall shrubbery here to hide the height of the walkway here, which is about 3 feet. Low-lying shrubbery here, which this was a recommendation from planning department to keep that landscaping here low-lying, which is a good idea. New mountain ash here, right in the area where the grass is going to be. Pavers here to match the steeple. This is a prior plan. New mountain ash right here where there's a tree stump now, and that's going to be replaced with a new tree. And that existing tree there is going to remain. So that's the general layout, including the landscaping. This is the elevation of the proposed project from the west in its entirety. This is how you would see it from the north. Of course, you can't see everything because the rectory is in the way here, but we'll get to better pictures without the rectory in a second. Okay, that's from the north. This is from the rear or the east, standing in the cemetery looking towards the project. Not a lot to see from that angle, but we are proposing a couple of nice columns to create a nice entry coming into the cemetery right there from the back circle sitting area. Okay, this is from the south, again, proposed project. Okay, now, Scheme A, this is getting into clarifications here. Okay, Scheme A is the proposed project that we we're seeking approval on. Today, hopefully you can see those notes okay. This, one of the clarifications here, this is a big clarification. This is not a ramp. This is a pedestrian walkway. It was originally called a pedestrian ramp, and what we were meaning when we said that was anything underneath 5%. Well, we had a consultation with the building director, Mike Kinsler, and he kind of cleared us up on that. He said, pedestrian is correct, ramp is wrong, anything under a 5% or 1 in 20 is walkway. So we just had a bad choice of word there. So scratch anything that says ramp in the report and turn it into walkway. There's nothing in here that is steep enough to be a ramp in any of this project. This pedestrian walkway, the slope at any given point is less than 5% or 120. It'll be flattened out a little bit right here simply for the stairs to drop down onto the grass area. This grass area will be sloping about 2%, just a standard quarter inch and a foot for drainage. We're going to have a couple of steps right here so that we can have this area semi-flat for gathering, setting up booths and coffee and donuts and things like that. So then it'll be coming up here, it'll be less than 5%. And then we'll enter into the church. This will be a 2% maximum for drainage. All this area out in here will be a 2% roughly sloping down in this direction. The grass area will be sloping 2% for drainage. Trying to keep the grass area semi-flat also because we're anticipating that this will also be an overflow gathering area. If we have some big function going on here, and we need a lot of tables, we can set up tables down in here also. Incidentally, Les, the drainage has been designed, but we haven't presented it in the planning hearings or with the planning department simply because we consider that to be more of a building issue. Has been designed, actually has been given to the building department way back when we first submitted the very first set of plans. So, and it will be done for this final project.
I appreciate that, and I know that you will have taken care of that in the most professional and wise way possible.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me move on to some nice elevations that will demonstrate this slope a little bit better. Okay, this is from the north elevation, and if you look at the lines of the church, those are level lines, the siding, and the thing is here is that this looks like a ramp, and it walks like a ramp, and it quacks like a ramp, but it only looks that way because the slope of the existing grade is coming down, so when it gets down to this point, it's about 3 feet high, so the existing grade is coming down, and this has to slope up a little bit to get to the door, but because of where it meets over here, it actually doesn't need to be a so-called ramp, so it is a walkway. And we have to have a railing here because of the height, anything over 40 inches, which actually starts about right here where the drinking fountain is. It has to have the, by code, 4-inch apart balustrade, 42 inches tall. Once it gets to this point, there's no, it's 30 inches or less, so we don't have to have a balustrade system in there, just a bar. And I believe by code, we don't even have to have that. We don't even have to have a rail or something to grab onto. We're just doing it for consideration for ambulatory people, giving them something to hang on to so they don't trip and stumble off and So it's back to safety again. We want to make this as safe and hazard-free as possible. That's a little flatter area right there where the stairs are dropping off onto the grass area. And that grass area has a little bit of a slope to it, and then a couple of steps stepping down onto this courtyard area. So hopefully I made that clear enough to see in this drawing how that walkway looks and acts, and you get a really good feel for how it's going to be. This is the front. Same thing when we come around the corner right there. 120 max, 5% max. It won't even be that. It'll be like 3%, maybe 4%. So here again, the rails are white. I'll get to that in a second. The tall shrubbery conceals the walls very well. Looks really nice. Okay, this, there you go. See the white rails? Try to make them white.
Yeah.
everything's white. This is a good view. You can kind of see how that slope works coming up from the existing walkway over by the garage here. You can see how that kind of goes up. And then when you turn and go up the walkway here, you can pretty much see it's almost flat. And then that's the new grass that we proposed back here. But that I think is a little shot here. You can really see how flat that is coming up there. And then that's the new grass area. White rails. Incidentally, the rails don't really look like that in our proposed design, and I'll show you a detail of our choice of rail design in the end here. Okay. Go back. Is there any questions on Scheme A before I go to some of these alternates?
Commissioners? Commissioner Becker.
The only question I would have, probably Mike Kinsler would have to answer it, is if the ramp is going to the walkway would create a need for those windows to be tempered glass or not. Just a question or thought.
I didn't quite hear you.
Whether those windows would need to be tempered with the ramp or the walkway next to them, is that elevation rise is going to create a need for those windows to be tempered glass?
Glass railing
right there.
I think what he means are the existing windows in the church
have to be changed out to tempered glass.
Because of the walkway next to him, is the elevation going to be high enough where they need to be changed?
I don't think so, but we're going to get comments from Mike here eventually.
We'll get them back.
Yeah, I don't think so at that elevation. I think we're okay. And we are putting a grab bar in front of it also.
Okay.
Anything lower than 24 inches, yeah.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Which I don't think we're going to have more than 24 inches, but there's also a drop off on the other side of the walkway because there's a foot separation.
Right. It's not exactly joining. It's not joining the building.
Right. And so we're going to have a bar there to keep people from falling off into that.
Will you have a railing along the building side as well?
Yes.
Then that protects the...
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And that railing on the building side is actually attached to the walkway itself and not to the structure.
Yes, right in this area there will be a rail. Wherever there starts to be a void where you can drop your foot down into, we're going to have a rail to keep people from stumbling down into that.
Thank you. I think we're done with that, with Scheme A.
Okay, this is a requirement from the planning department. They wanted to see some alternates, and I think planning commissioners also wanted to see this. They wanted to see some alternate ideas so we could kind of weigh the options and see why we decided to go the way we went. This is option B, which is a, this is an actual ADA ramp because it actually will go up to 8.33 or 8% slope going up this way. There's a lot of major construction to build this type of a ramp coming up in this direction. Number one, it's very, very expensive to build a ramp of this sort, and the budget doesn't exist.
I think we have to say it's also quite visually intrusive as well.
It absolutely is. There's the elevation. This doesn't illustrate it very well, but you can see that handrail coming up this way, and then it goes up that way in a great big handrail. Once you get up past the 30-inch, you know you've got a lot of balustrade system. Really hacks up the side of that church landscape in that area. The trees are all gone. We'd have to plant new trees. So it's very, very intrusive on the visual impact. Changes the traffic patterns of a lot of the parishioners. A lot of parishioners, if not at least half of them, are accustomed to coming up this way and coming into the church this way. I'm sure they would still park down here and come up this way, and they still have the same obstacle or the same barrier. So we would have to create a whole bunch of parking over here. We'd have to retrain everybody to go over here and park over here and walk up this big, huge ramp. So it causes a lot of confusion, and it just, and number one, it's the visual impact and the cost of the project, but we did have to look at it. So that's scheme B. Okay, scheme C and D was coming in through the side of the building. That's scheme C back coming in through the sacristy, and that's scheme D putting in a new door and creating a new walkway in the front and moving the piano, which there's no place to move. But scheme C would create a lot of problems, a lot of issues, simply due to the fact that you're walking through the stage per se. The performance is going on, for a lack of better words, and then you have people walking in, walking through the performance, or walking through the church process, coming in 10 minutes late. It just doesn't fit the process of the church, of the traditional functionality of the way the church processes go. Either one of these schemes would require us to install a ramp to get into these doors, which, having this walkway in our proposed scheme A, as far as visual impact goes, these create almost the same visual impact doing this or this or this, almost the same visual impact. So here's scheme C. As you can see, going through the sacristy, we'd have to build this ramp right here to get into that door. And the functionality of the people going through the sacristy doesn't work. Okay, scheme D, same thing. We'd have to ruin the integrity of the historical component in this area by installing a door, building a ramp here. So this is, we don't want to do anything to the building is what the bottom line is. We don't want to impact the structure at all. Our project proposes nothing to the building whatsoever. Okay, so you can see the visual impact that would cause there. That's one of the reasons. And then also, the flow of the church doesn't work well. Here again, we got to move the piano. We got to get rid of one of the pews. And people are walking in through the front of the church. which does not fit the functional process of the Catholic Mass. Okay, are there any questions on any of those schemes?
Commissioners?
I'd rather wait till the conclusion of the presentation.
Sure.
Okay. If those details are too small, I could blow them up. That's the proposed rail there. This would all be constructed out of steel. This we feel fits the design, theme of the church. This type of rail is used a lot in a lot of churches throughout the country. And so that's the rail, and that'll be painted white. Or actually, it'll be probably powder coated.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mike. Powder
coated.
Okay.
Yeah. So it'll last forever. I wanted to just kind of give this. I knew we talked about this last time, but just kind of, this is a detail showing the construction of the walkway going up to the front door of the church. This is made out of concrete and fill. I think not working. Okay, fill here, and then a slab over the top. And just once again, just to remind everybody, this is not considered a permanent structure. I mean, it's permanently built, but it's not attached to the building. It can be removed at any given time if it needs to be. Okay, this is lighting throughout the courtyard that we decided to go with, which is just kind of a mushroom type of landscape path light, and this will illuminate the area very nicely for foot travel. And this is throughout the landscape area of the project. Okay, this is where the walkway coming up to the front of the church meets the front door. And what we're proposing here is to have a very smooth transition into the existing front door, which actually that threshold meets ADA standards. However it's constructed, this threshold will be a very smooth one. The reason is because we want the casket dolly to be able to roll in very easily. But as it is now in the existing building, the top of the landing is about right here. So there's a 7-inch or 6-inch step into the doorway. That'll be gone. This will just be a smooth transition into the doors.
Yeah, and Mark, just to inject just a slightly lighter element at this point, I'm still seeing the word ramp up there, so I would propose that we refer to that as an acronym for removable alternative means of perambulation. So now if we say the word ramp, we're actually talking about a walkway.
Yes, exactly. And I didn't update these details. My mistake.
Not a problem.
And that's pretty much the end of our presentation. These are just a couple of renderings showing the project. I don't really think I have any other comments or clarifications. I think Brian said everything else that needed to be said. If there's anything not clear, let me know now. I can try to clear it up for you. We're hoping to get approval today so we can start building tomorrow, even though it's Saturday. We're still going to start.
Well, unless we have any further questions for Mark, any questions? Do we have any questions for Mike? Do you have any questions for building?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I do.
Well, in that case, Mike, would you mind, and just to make things comfortable for you, you can take your pick of either the big chair over there or the big podium up here. Morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners and staff, it's a pleasure to be here. For public record, I'm Mike Kinslow, building director for Mariposa County. I have been following this project for the past couple of years, and it's morphed considerably. And I'm here to give a little bit of insight on building's perspective on this project, the nuts and bolts side of it, and answer any questions that you all may have. There's been a lot said about ADA accessibility in this project, and I want to, right off the top, I want to commend the commissioners for assisting me, because it seems like I'm about the only one out there trying to enforce Chapter 11 of the California Building Code, which is the accessibility chapter, and it helps me have backup on this for ADA accessibility issues that we apply to all commercial projects, and the code's very clear on what we need to do there. My view on this project is given my survey of the project and going out there many times with the applicants, the entire project is a barrier removal project. You have elevation differences in concrete slabs out there that are actually quite treacherous, even to able-bodied people. And keep in mind that accessibility barrier removal applies widely across the board. We're just not talking a person in a wheelchair, but we're talking about all different levels of disability and ability to improve the access to the site. So given that, I look at the improved site area as a complete barrier removal ADA improvement. Chapter in the California Building Code, Chapter 1134B, I believe, gives me tools to require ADA improvements. In that section, it says that's the 20% section. You take the value of the building or the improvements in this case, and you're required by law to spend 20% of that budget on ADA accessibility. For me, this does not apply to this project because the way I view it, 100% of the project is ADA accessibility. Now, one of the things that we need to clarify also is when you have a project area, when you do something new, you will make it accessible. But when you touch something here, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to touch it way over here. So we don't need the church itself to come up to ADA applications. The accessible route that comes from the lower parking lot up a steep incline because we are in the mountains does not necessarily mean that we have to make that an accessible ramp type situation. One of the things is take San Francisco for an existence. In the terrain of San Francisco, we do not have to put an accessible ADA ramp on every sidewalk going up and down the hills. And the code allows us to brand these technically infeasible issues. So getting up there, you still have something that exceeds 1 in 20, but on the small pedestrian accessible walkway that we talk that circumrounds the church, if we can keep that under shallower than 1 in 20, then it turns into a regular walkway. And a lot of the requirements in an ADA ramp, and an ADA ramp is a slope that is between 1 in 20 and 1 in 12 in pitch. And in that definition, we have to be very specific. There's a whole bunch of other things that kick into that. But once we're outside of that ramp, then we're on a normal accessible outside walk, which most of this is. So from my perspective, I'm thrilled that they are going forward and cleaning up the entire area. It will make it far more accessible for just about everybody. And I'm really pleased with the project. Now, certainly I haven't seen a set of working drawings stamped and signed by the design professional of record, but I think those will be forthcoming if they get approval from me today, and then we'll go ahead and go forward on that. But but generally speaking, I like what I see. They've done a lot of work on it. I don't have any particular ADA issues on it. Generally, too, keep in mind that as a building official, it's my job and responsibility to interpret California building code or California code of regulations, Title 24, which includes all the building codes. And it's an interpretation. You might not agree with it, but the courts in California are the ultimate authority. But we'll try not to get somebody in that position as we go forward. So generally speaking, it looks to me, in theory, it looks pretty good right at the moment. Do you have any questions?
No, Mike, I really appreciate getting your thoughts and your comments on the record, and I must say that I wholeheartedly concur with what you had to say. Do we have any questions for Mike?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. First, I'd like to commend the applicant for their redesign of the use of the grounds and the facilities. It's excellent. It's excellent. I do have concern with the walkway. Since the state of California started adopting disability laws about 10 years prior to the formation of the ADA, and have continued to, and are still actually more restrictive or more accommodating, I would suggest it. The planning department used the term ADA and or Title 24, because I don't like the word restrictive in this case, I'd like to say more accommodating. I guess the question that I have of Mr. Kinsler, I don't know him that way, Mike, would be, what are the problems of making the walkway accessible, according to
you? What are the problems of making the walkway accessible? In what definition? Ramp accessible or an accessible sidewalk? We're talking two different areas.
Well, I think probably since the word ramp is defined in the code, so it's not an accessible walkway or accessible ramp. How do you make that walkway as a gradient so that the wheelchair people can use that access to the church?
Yeah, on the accessible walkway, if by definition there are no parts steeper than 120, then we consider it a walkway. And the width is also variable depending on the run. As you can visually get two wheelchairs trying to pass on that, we need a specific width, except for shorter walkways. I think that's usually about 200 feet, and we can narrow it down a little bit. But if it's a 120 or shallower slope of an area that we can use for accessibility, we just consider it an accessible pedestrian walkway, and no additional issues are required. As soon as we kick it up to steeper than 120, up to a maximum of 112, now we have handrailing requirements, we have landings top and bottom of every 30-inch rise. Rise is 30 inches maximum before you have a resting landing. Your turns, as Mark had showed in the original ramp suggestion on the parking lot, are strictly controlled, and I think they'd probably wind up being a little wider, a little bigger than what he had displayed there. And hand railings are specific, wheelchair curbs are specific. Those are applicable in a pedestrian walkway because the steepness doesn't impose an undue hardship according to code on something less than 120. So what we're trying to do is my suggestion to the applicants is if at all possible, take a shot from the grade door, and I commend the applicants to get this right into the doorway. They're removing the thresholds and all these issues, so it's just perfectly flat, and give us a shot around the corner to where that walkway starts and verify that it's less than or shallower than 120. If it comes out to be steeper than that and there's no alternative, then yes, they will have to, because they're building something new, they will have to comply to the ADA ramp standards. So that's why the suggestion that if at all possible we keep it shallower than 120, and then we can legitimately apply the
accessible walkways damaged, two different deals. I think that's, maybe that's good terminology, like the accessible walkway. And I think it's important to be stated that way. I look at the future, having worked with the disabled community for many years, this attempt to make an accessible walkway, or I'm using that term, probably would preclude any lawsuits that might be attempted, because they're happy about doing these kinds of things. And since you're providing a walkway, if it's all within reason that it can be accessible, then we've satisfied those needs.
And I would also have to point out that from my reading of the Secretary's standards, there also is a balance that can be sought between historic preservation and ADA compliance, and I think that's a very important point to be made.
Because the law does provide for undue hardship.
Right.
We use the technically infeasible clause quite a bit. We have to have findings, we have to do investigations, we have to have a finding kept in a permanent file, and we have exercised that in the past. Now keep in mind also, this is an existing building, and there's rumors that we might have a new hardware store in town. Now, given that, we will have to have an accessible route from the street, from the sidewalk, all the way through the entire property, into the building, into the restrooms, and everything will have to be met, including the green code, which enhances on some of that for a new building, but for a remodel. And this is a lot of flat work, actually. We're not really touching the structure at all, but it's just flat work, and normally we don't really even get involved, except on the ADA side.
Great. Do we have any other questions for Mike?
Yes, I have a comment, and I appreciate the concerns from Commissioner Harder, having a mother she's passed away now, mobility issues and used a wheelchair for many years. I certainly appreciate that. But I wanted to simply just make a comment that, and possibly this is a question for the building director, that are there potentially some exclusions for historic buildings? I think it's important that we say for the record that the spirit of the ADA is met by the parish, because they have, if you look at the article that was prepared, or the document that was prepared by Sarah, that there is a, the spirit of the ADA is that there should be same services. And so the parish has the ability to comply with that by providing ADA accessible access for a wheelchair width in the parish hall. And even if you had an ADA width ramp into the structure, there really is no room in that historic structure to accommodate wheelchairs or electric forms of conveyance, simply because it is historic. So in your review of the ADA requirements and meeting the spirit of that law, is this project complies with that, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. For your information, too, there are some sections of the historical building code of California that allow us to modify the outstanding ADA regulations to accommodate door widths and short ramps and things like that. And they're very specific. If we were doing a remodeling effort on the inside, we could also go to the historical code of California, which has an ADA section in it, and play with that a little bit. But you're right. It's the spirit that I think is important in all of this. And I think the intent of the ADA law in California is to, provide accommodation, but it also brings awareness. That's what we're doing here. Everybody's aware of this. And given this particular project, I think they've gone above and beyond the call of duty to improve the accessibility of it. So from the nuts and bolts side, I don't have any problems, but yes, absolutely. The spirit has certainly been met. And the problem with this whole thing is, like we said, this is a civil rights issue. The ADA issues in California are considered a civil rights issue, ultimately enforced by the courts. And so I may make a decision, an interpretation. Somebody may come along and not agree with me, and it may go to court, and the court may override my decision. That's their entitlement. But generally speaking, if we've gone to this sort of effort to include the ADA community so extensively in this project, generally I found that the ADA community comes to us and goes, thank you. It's family useful. Great. Wonderful. We support you. So it's kind of the view of how you see these things.
And the ball ultimately will be in your court when
official plan, and you will have to make the decision.
Was your hair white before this?
Pardon?
Was your hair white before this issue?
Was your hair white before this issue?
My hair was white. Now it's bald, actually, and I grew some hair, so it's been good for me.
Do we have any further questions for Mike or further comments? Let's move things along, please. And not seeing any, Mike, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me here.
It was great to have you, and I do think it's important for us to also state for the record that this entire process is hierarchic to some extent, and I would like to make sure that we have on the record, we do have it in the findings, but I would like to make sure that we have on the record the fact that this body, the Planning Commission, has, at least to the best of its abilities, reviewed the Secretary's standards and found that this plan, the Scheme A, does, hopefully we will get approval for this, does meet the spirit and the letter of the Secretary of Standards by our observation. Because I think it's very important that it comes out of us with that studied background that we've given it. And with that, if there are any other members of the public who would like to have anything to say on this issue, please feel free to come forward. Seeing none, 1, 2, 3, I think I'm going to close the public hearing. Thank you for your attendance here, Father Steve. Thank you for being here. Staff, it's time to pull it back for deliberations.
Mr. Chair, I have one comment to Mark, possibly, that you might consider where a railing has to be employed, that it could be a glass railing, because it's less obtrusive. There are no pickets, only the supports every 6 to 8 feet or so. And now with the code adopted in 2009, you don't need a top rail on a laminated tempered glass railing, just a handrail. So it becomes less obtrusive. Just a thought.
Okay, there is a thought. Do we have deliberation on this project? May I see, having seen it move through its process in the past, and I can't recall if it's been a year and a half, 2 years, I have to say that there has been a tremendous amount of work by the planning department. There has been a tremendous amount of work by the applicant and agents, and I am just floored at how much has gone into this, keeping it moving along, and I so appreciate and commiserate, too, the amount of time and, unfortunately, expense that have gone into this project. I am pleased to see it at this state. I think that what we have seen here today is, at least from my opinion, a very wise project, a very excellent meeting of the Secretary's standards and accessibility. I have been very disturbed by the condition of the grounds, particularly in access, and simply the thought of additional injury to parishioners there. And I think that this plan just does a wonderful job of eliminating so many of those concerns. Those are my thoughts, my deliberation. Commissioners, any further thoughts? In that case, it appears we may be ready to entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would so move that the Mariposa County Planning Commission adopt the mitigated negative declaration for the St. Joseph's Church landscape and landscape renovations, and also approve the historic design review subject to conditions and mitigation measures in Exhibit 1 based on findings contained in Exhibit 2.
That sounds to take care of everything. Do we have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
We have a second from Commissioner Bernikoff. If there is no further discussion.
Mr. Chair, I would like to just disclose one thing.
Certainly.
I don't know if I have to, but I'm going to, just in the spirit of making sure everything is right. I wanted to convey that that I have fully reviewed all the tapes, listened to all the tapes of the public hearing, public testimony, staff reports, and agent reports in its entirety in order to enable me to comply with the rules to vote on this issue today.
And I appreciate that. The issue would have been voted on this specific project before us, and I so appreciate, however, you're taking the time to get the full background on the development of this entire project, because it has been pretty remarkable. Thank you for that disclosure. So, if there is no further discussion, I will call the question. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No abstentions. This motion passes 4-0. And I will simply say congratulations, and again, thank you for your profound patience. Sincerely, congratulations, Mark. Congratulations, Father Stephen, parishioners. And with that, I would like actually to take a brief recess before we continue with our information items. I don't think we're going to have a lot, but and as a matter of fact, because so many people have cleared the room already, we may not even have to take a recess unless there is a request for one. You know what? Let's just continue moving it along then. Will we be able to get right to the information items? Oh, good. Good. Well, and I'm not even sure what your name is. Okay, good. That works for me. Congratulations. I don't know when that happened. So with that, Sarah, please feel free to go right ahead with information items. It's all yours.
Okay. I have a few announcements to make. First, I will list the Planning Advisory Committee meetings that are scheduled and noticed in the future. Here we have Historic Sites and Records Preservation Commission. It has a meeting this coming Monday, January 13th at 10 o'clock. And we will be continuing our discussion of the historic sites inventory update. That's our primary project. The following day, Tuesday, January 14th at 7 at night, is El Patel Planning Advisory Committee. That meeting is in El Patel. We have Fish Camp Planning Advisory Council. Their first meeting for this year is Saturday, January 25th. And that meeting starts at 9:30 in the morning, is at Tenai Lodge. And then the final advisory committee meeting announcement is for Mid Pines. We have a notice that was put in the paper that is in error. The committee used to meet on Tuesdays at their meeting. This week they changed their meetings to be the second Wednesday of the month. So the next meeting will be February 12th at 6 o'clock. And they're making good progress on their plan, and public input and stakeholders' input is the current topic. For board actions, this month we've been to the board already. Their first meeting, January 7th, the board took action to formally appoint Les James as the voting member for the Historic Sites and Records Preservation Commission. That was based on correspondence that we received from their organization. We do still have an opening for the alternate position. On Tuesday the 14th, the board will be considering and initiating an amendment to Title II provisions in County Code. We're recommending some amendments to Planning Advisory Committee member provisions for appointment and removal. And that's a recommendation that's being made for internal consistency within Title II. We're also recommending amendments to separate the Planning and Building Department. That's an amendment that's been needed for over a decade. So that's just a correction. LAFCO is meeting on the 28th, and we will be considering appointment of board members. That actually the board does, but then the main item for that meeting will be consideration of the policies, procedures, and standards manual. It's a very comprehensive update to a document that is currently dated 1994. So it's time for an update to that. In February, the first meeting on the 4th, the board will have a continued public hearing on the Bankhead supplemental resolution. And then we have two other items that we still need to schedule with the clerk of the board. We're not ready to state a date on those. One is the cultivation ordinance adoption, and the second is a discussion on the Williamson Act, a potential for the board to adopt a moratorium on processing of new applications. We don't have a date scheduled with the board yet, but both of those two items will also be in February. A couple of updates on projects that the commission has been involved with in the past. The first relates to our reclamation activities on abandoned mines at the Towson Ranch. As you're aware, both the Bear Valley Quarry and the Bear Creek Slate Quarry were abandoned by their operators. The county has gone through a comprehensive process to revoke those mining permits and commence reclamation. Work started on site this week on the 6th, and so that's big news, big progress. And I've heard from the Public Works civil engineer who's heading that up, that's Bill McKenzie, that the work is progressing nicely. And then the final item is the Silvertip Resort Village project. Staff planner Steve Ingver and I have been working with applicants, owners, and Public Works and other staff involved in condition compliance. We will be posting on our website a program to provide information to the public about that project. There's been a lot of community interest in that. And so as the applicant is moving forward with trying to meet conditions in order to enable our office to issue a permit, actually the building department to issue a development permit, they have a number of conditions they need to meet. We want to provide information on our website to show interested public evidence of condition compliance. That's something a little bit different for our office, but again, based upon the level of public interest, we think it's worth it. It's a worthwhile effort to provide that information to the public. Your next meeting was canceled, and at this point, I don't yet have information on items that we'll bring before you in February. Our noticing deadline has not. We haven't reached it yet. So that's it for my announcements.
Sarah, just one question about Silvertip, and I can't recall exactly, but the extension that we gave them would take them to this June?
June.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And in order to vest that project based on the conditions of approval, they need to have a permit issued, either a grading permit or a building permit issued for that project. They are working on getting a grading permit issued.
Working with Caltrans?
That would be an encroachment permit. That's one of the permits they have to have issued before a grading permit can be issued.
They do have a Caltrans encroachment permit. I saw the copy. Yeah.
They have an application submitted. They have an updated application submitted as of December 3rd.
But then submission of the cost for that permit doesn't matter.
Our conditions require that the permit be reviewed by Caltrans and actually issued. Yeah. They did pay for the encroachment permit application. And it's for amendments, left turn lane, acceleration, deceleration lanes, substantial.
So have you heard who the project manager is for that project, like Silvertip?
As far as construction?
From Far West?
We've been meeting with the owner, Ira Glasky, their designated agent, who's David Giantini, and then they have recently hired a project manager as well.
Okay.
I have a question on the mines. Were the bonds that are required to be put up by the mine operator sufficient to pay for the reclamation process, or are taxpayers having to pay for that, for it to pick up the balance?
Taxpayers are not paying for the cost. The cost of those contracts is being covered by the bonds, the reclamation financial assurances.
Great. And I have just one other question. It was one of the first items that you had. I think you said you were presenting some recommended changes to some building codes.
No, it's Title II, which is in the county ordinance, and those are administrative provisions. And so they establish, or they provide authority to establish the departments, the board, the planning commission, that kind of thing. It's more organizational.
And I wasn't referring to the separation of the planning and building. I think it was something you had said earlier.
It has to do the second portion of the amendments that are being initiated is actually an amendment to one that was initiated by the board a number of years ago, but not processed. So it has to do with provisions for appointment and removal of planning advisory committee members. There is some internal inconsistency in the text and the language that exists in Title II. And that amendment, and the need for that amendment, was raised a number of years ago. The board actually initiated amendments to the code, and we circulated the amendments, the text of those amendments, to advisory committees. There were some concerns about the text of those amendments voiced by individual committee members, and so in response to that, well, the planner it was assigned to never completed the process. The amendments that I'm taking to the board address some of those concerns that were raised by committee members.
And that's the sum total of the building code changes that you're recommending to the board?
I'm not recommending any changes to building code, but in code, the provision that relates to building is that in that Title II, planning department and building department are still connected as one department. And those changes were made to that organizational structure a long, long time ago, like three planning directors ago, but this section of the code was never updated to reflect that. My thought is if we're going into that title and making amendments, that correction should be made. It's long overdue.
Okay, and I just thought that there was some other building issue that you brought up at the beginning. Thanks.
Well then, do you have any other questions or comments for Sarah? Or for Brian? Or for John, as long as he's here? I would like to give my great gratitude to Carol Judy, and I think your new last name should be Muggs. You will just put the two of them together, it works for me. So thank you very much for your wonderful help today, as well as your patience with me. And with that,
Commissioner Beckins now.
With that, I think that we can certainly adjourn today's meeting. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Good job.